Book of Genesis, chapter 41. Genesis, chapter 41. Brother John, could you help me with something? Could you put one chair right here and put one chair down there? You can use those chairs right there if you want. Yep, you can use one. Just put one here facing out, one there facing out. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. In case I get tired, I'll just sit down. There we go. Thank you. Very good. Thank you. Genesis chapter 41. For the last several Wednesday nights, we've been looking at the life of Joseph. We'll continue that tonight as the Lord enables us, and onward on Wednesday evenings. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump into this lesson tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service thus far. Thank you for these reports that we just heard from our missionaries. We have the privilege of interceding on their behalf, of also sending finances to help them. Lord, every family that was mentioned has a need and has probably more than one. So continue to do a work in and through them. Tonight, Lord, I pray that this truth from your word in the life of Joseph would also ring true in each of our lives. And thank you for your word and how we can grow in it and from it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, tonight, fourth lesson on the life of Joseph, this theme, God works on both ends. God works on both ends. So last week we learned that the Lord was with Joseph. And what was the theme, a two-word theme that we gave last week in relation to the Lord was with Joseph? Two words, who can remember? I probably said it maybe 15 to 20 times. Two words. That's three, but good job. That's right here. I heard the word never alone. There you go. That's the two words. All right, good. Never alone. That's the theme that we learned last week when it says the Lord was with Joseph. Repeatedly it says that about his life and the fact that we are never alone. We're not going to re-preach that. This week we'll see from the life of Joseph that while God is at work in our life, and believe me, God is always at work in our life. But while God is at work in our life, we also learn that God is at work in the lives of those on the other end of our life. See, God is omnipresent. Time matters not to God. There's no such thing. He doesn't, you know, I don't think he has a watch. No, he doesn't have a watch. You know, before the beginning began to begin, there was God, okay? There was only a who, and it was God. So time means nothing. And so this is why I have these two chairs up here, and I'll explain them to you a little bit later. So look at Genesis chapter 41 and verse 1. And we see here, the Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of two full years. Stop right there. Now, if you know a little bit about this type of where we're at here, is this too loud? Or am I just not? Maybe it's not. Is it a little bit too loud? A little bit too loud. Okay, thank you, Brother David. Appreciate that. That statement right there, that two full years have gone by. Now, let me just tell you, if you don't know exactly what's happening right here, that statement right there is a very, very discouraging statement. Now, you don't know that unless you read up above it or you know what's happening here. What's happening right now is that for two full years, Joseph has been in prison. For two full years, Joseph has been a prisoner. Now, why was he a prisoner? We talked about that in previous weeks. He was a prisoner because he was falsely accused by Mrs. Potiphar. That he had done what he was supposed to do. He had hightailed it out of there, but she had falsely accused him. Her husband believed her, and so he is in prison. Now, in Genesis chapter 40, what we did not read was there were two men that were put in prison when Joseph was there. They didn't have names other than titles. Who remembers their titles? Okay. The what? Baker and the butler. Okay? The butler and the baker and the butler, however you want to remember them. Those were the two men that were in prison with him. They were put in prison. And again, look at verse 4 of chapter 40, though. Chapter 40. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. So Joseph was put in charge. Remember, the Lord was with Joseph. He's never alone. Joseph's now in charge of the butler and the baker. They've been put in prison by Pharaoh. And now, the interesting thing about these gentlemen is that they have a dream. Now, remember what Joseph was famous for way back in our series. He was also famous for having dreams. His brothers didn't like his dreams. Even his own dad corrected him when he said that, you know, the stars and the would bow down to him, and the sun and the stars, the sun and the moon, and the stars would bow down to him. And you know, even his dad corrected him about that. And so now here's a couple of guys that have dreams. Look at verse 12, please, of chapter 40. And Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of it." So the butler and the baker, the first one here is the butler. He tells Joseph his dream, and Joseph interprets it. And that's not the lesson tonight, so we're not going to go into all of that. But then we find that the baker, look what happened. And so it happens. And look what the chief baker in verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good. So he hears about his friend the butler and the dream he has and the interpretation that it was favorable. He says, "You know what? I want to know about mine too." He said unto Joseph, and he gives Joseph his dream, and Joseph interprets that. And in fact, both interpretations of Joseph come true. And notice what it says on in verse number 20. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all the servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among the servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership. He gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. That's what Brother Barry was talking about a moment ago. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. And so both of these men had a dream. Joseph interprets the dream. One is released, as Joseph said. That is the who? The butler. The butler goes. The baker, not so good. Okay? He goes to, but he's gone. He dies. Okay? All right. So, notice verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. That opens up with our verse that we read a moment ago. Very sad. 2 years go by. Joseph says to the butler, "Hey, when you get out of here, put in a good word for me." The butler gets out of prison, and like me, and like you maybe at times, he forgets. You know, he didn't have his bulletin to write a note down so that when he looked at his bulletin later in the week, he would remember it. He didn't have a program on his computer that he could send himself an email or whatever. He forgot. And 2 years goes by. Meanwhile, every day Joseph got up and wondered, would this be the day? Now, I don't know. Maybe after about 3 or 4 months of that, Joseph gave up even thinking that. I don't know. We don't have any of that. The Bible just says 2 years later. But I want to remind you that God is always working on both ends. God is always working on both ends. His coat of many colors, his comfortable environment at home, all of that is gone. God was, though, working at both ends. Number one, as we go through life, and as Joseph, we go through Joseph's life, we're going to learn, number one, God must be honored. God must be honored. Go with me in your Bibles quickly to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Hold your place there in Genesis. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. God must be honored. First Samuel 2, verse 31. "Behold, the days come. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house." I don't think I wrote down the right reference there. supposed to be, maybe it's 2 Samuel. Let's try that one. No, that's not it either. Okay. I'm looking for the verse of the Bible that says, them that honor me, I will honor. If you find that, feel free to wave at me or something like that. But I definitely got the wrong reference there. Them that honor me, will I honor. So, but we can go right back into Joseph's life now. We can think of many, many times in Joseph's life where he honored God. In spite of what was happening in Joseph's life, he honored God. He obeyed his father by going to check on his brothers. Think about it. Yes. Oh, I was only off by one verse. Okay, let's take the time. If I just would have hugged the verse, I would have found it. You have to ask Brother John about that after church. I have to give him copyrights for that. 1 Samuel 2:30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor. There it is. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor. 1 Samuel 2:30. Joseph is someone who definitely honored the Lord. Okay? Go back to the very first lesson. Joseph obeyed his father when his father asked him to go check on his brothers. Now, think about this. Joseph had already taken grief from his brothers before he went to check on them. They already didn't like him. They were already upset with him. But Joseph honored the Lord. Remember, because God is always working on both ends. Then, I would submit to you that Joseph honored the Lord when he was a diligent worker for Potiphar. He did what he was supposed to do. I'm sure he was a diligent worker. He obviously kept things in order so much so that Potiphar recognized that God was on him. God was blessing him. And he was all the way up in Potiphar's house. So he honored the Lord there. I believe number three, that he honored the Lord when he withstood the temptation of Potiphar's wife. He said no to sin. He said no to the temptation. Hey, when temptation comes, and by God's help, we say no, that's honoring to the Lord. And we hold the name Christ. We hold the name Christian, and we need to honor the Father. Then number four, we see that, as we just looked at in Joseph's life, he was a model prisoner. Now, again, he wasn't in prison because he really had done anything wrong. He was in prison because he was lied about, but yet he honored the Lord. Why? Because whether Joseph knew it or not, we know it tonight, God is always working on both ends. Every time Joseph is over here in the pit, God was working over there. Joseph was here and Potiphar's wife was blaming him for it. God was already over there setting things up in the jail for him. Joseph was over here in prison and God was setting things up over there. He already knew when Pharaoh was going to have the dream. Imagine this. I was thinking about this. If the butler would have remembered Joseph when he got out of prison, it would have been bad timing. Because it wasn't for 2 years that Pharaoh had his dream. See, because God is always working on both ends. So wherever you're at tonight, know this, that God is working in your life tonight, and God is working in Acre Baptist Church tonight, but God sees 6 months from now, and God is already there. He's there 6 months from now, because he's not bound by time. And think about this, we're praying for missionaries right here, and God is at work on the other end of those prayers. We're praying for these three families, the Owls and the Malazos and the Rays. We're praying for them. We're praying for them. We're praying. And sometimes you think, why do we pray for missionaries? Because God is working on both ends. God's in China tonight. God's in the Philippines tonight. God's in Hong Kong tonight. And when you pray for these missionaries, think about it that way. Think about it. I'm praying for a missionary where God is with them right now. And our labor and prayer is never in vain. You can see that all through Joseph's life. God is working on both ends. Joseph had done all that one could expect of him and even exceeded that. And yet he has been in prison now for 2 years. But God was working in the palace. God was not finished with Joseph yet. I found this statement to be helpful. Our confidence must always be in this truth. God is at work. Look at your life right now and think, okay, what is it in my life? Yes, God's at work in your life. And know this, here's another thought. He is everywhere at all times. So he's not only right now working in Burnaby, B.C., but he's working something else in your life and for your life that we don't even see yet. But Joseph never saw 2 years. He couldn't see 2 years ahead. But God was there. God was at work. So number one, God must be honored. The second thing I think that we notice in Joseph's life about this thought of God is working at both ends. Number two, God will speak. God will speak. I don't hear him. God will speak. Turn to Hebrews, and hopefully I have the right passage this time. Okay, Hebrews chapter number 1. We'll come right back to our text, Hebrews chapter number 1. God will speak. Hebrews 1. Yes, this is the right one. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Notice that word spake. Verse 2. Hath in these last days, what's the next word? Spoken unto us by his who? Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. That's talking about speaking. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God has spoken. God is speaking. And all the way down here, God will speak. God is speaking. Am I listening? Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. I shared some of these verses yesterday. Three of us got together for prayer yesterday morning and at the church office. And Pastor Towns there at Lionsgate Baptist Church. And we have their 15th anniversary in our prayer page tonight. They're celebrating that on the Lord's Day. Pastor Nathan and I and Pastor Towns prayed together, and I shared a few of these verses. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18. Verily thou art God that hidest thyself. Thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, for he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. I have not spoken in what? Secret. In a dark place of the earth, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, what's the next word? Speak righteousness. I declare, that's also talking about his speaking on things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Notice all the different times in those verses where it talks about God speaking. God speaking. Different words that describe God speaking in those verses. And that's encouraging. And by the way, it's not just in Isaiah's day. It's not just in the Old Testament. God spoke through Jesus Christ. And God is speaking today in many ways as well. We'll look at several of those in just a moment. God will speak. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak.
For he will speak peace into his people and to his saints. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Many of you know this already, but let's review these. Number one, how does God speak? Number one, God speaks to us through his word. God speaks to us through his word. So I wrote down this question. Am I reading it faithfully? If this is how God speaks, I've got to read it faithfully. Then I wrote down this question to myself, and you ask yourself, am I applying it? If this is one of the ways God speaks, am I reading it faithfully? Am I applying it? God speaks to us through his word. Number two, God speaks to us through his spirit. His spirit. Think about when you got saved. Praise the Lord for salvation. Amen? Think about when you got saved. When you got saved, not only were you promised eternal life, but you were given the Holy Spirit of God. Just like that. Boom. Immediate transaction. You did not get a part of the Holy Spirit here, and then a part of the Holy Spirit later, and a part of the Holy Spirit later. You got all of the Holy Spirit immediately at one time. And God speaks to us through his Spirit. Isaiah 30, verse 21, the Bible says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, or when ye turn to the left," Isaiah 30, 21. So the question is, God's Spirit lives inside of me, and God's Spirit is directing me to the left hand, and God's Spirit is directing me to the right hand. In other words, God's Spirit wants to direct us. The question then is, are we listening? Are we listening? I don't believe it is a booming voice from heaven that says to me, this is what you're supposed to do. I believe God speaks to me through his word, and I believe God speaks to me through his spirit. But I also believe, number three, God speaks to us through other believers. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." So God will use people in my life, God will use people in your life to speak to us. We are his agents delivering a message to some people, to some. And you've delivered them to me, I've delivered them to you, and we've delivered them to other people. And number four, you know this, God speaks to us through life's circumstances. We are not to live under our circumstances, we are to live on top of our circumstances, seeking victory that only God can give us. Well, I'm just underneath this heavy load. And no, we're going to be on top of that heavy load, literally. That doesn't make sense, but we're going to be on top of that, and we're going to have victory through it. God brought it into my life because he's working now, and he's working on the other end as well. Pastor Sexton said this, "So often our disappointments are his appointments." I am disappointed by this. Yeah, but that's an appointed thing by God. Well, don't be disappointed. Our disappointments are his appointments. So when Pharaoh was laying in bed that night, God was speaking to Pharaoh. But he didn't have Pharaoh just in mind. He had his people in mind. Years down the road. Because God is always at work. He's working on both ends. God was speaking to the butler when right on time, 2 years later, oh, I can't believe I forgot about Joseph. God was speaking to the butler right on time. When God spoke to Pharaoh, Pharaoh had the dream. The dream got around the palace. The butler said he heard the word dream. Pharaoh, and then boom, God spoke to him and reminded him of Pharaoh. He didn't remind him the day before, the week before, the month before, right on time, God reminded. Because God will speak when it's time. Because God is always working on both ends. Amazing when you think about how God put this all together. Now think about it. Joseph has been in prison for 2 years plus. It's been 2 years since the dreams. We don't know how long he was in prison before that. So now he's immediately brought out of prison. The Bible even says that he shaved. Interesting. you know. I read apparently that the Egyptians were not bearded people, and they didn't really care for beards, I guess. But anyway, for some reason, he shaved his face. How long would his beard have been, you know, after 2 years, you know? A long beard, maybe. I don't know. Shaved his face, so now he's going from being in prison to standing before the most powerful man in the known world. Because when God speaks, God speaks. And that's what happened. God speaks. Number three, and lastly, God works on his time. God works on his time. God has never failed, and God will never fail. God's will always be accomplished. Do we want to get in on it or not, is the question. I do. I haven't always done that faithfully, but I want to be in on that. God is always at work, and God is always working on his time schedule. I said this already, I got ahead of myself a little bit, but had the butler remembered Joseph when he was released from prison, the timing would have been off. Look at verse 33, go back to our text. Look at verse 33 of chapter 41. So what's happened is Pharaoh has told Joseph his dream. We'll probably look into that another time. And Joseph has interpreted the dream. And he says in verse 33, Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Wow. In just a matter of moments, follow this. One day, Joseph is sitting over here in prison. It's the day after he's interpreted the butler's dream and the baker's dream. And he's like, they're going to be coming. I'm going to hear the door open. They're going to be coming to take me to go see Pharaoh. He's just waiting and listening. That's the first day. Week goes by. And today, it's going to be today, Brother Barry. Going to come get me today. But see, it was still going to be 2 years before God was going to give that dream to Pharaoh. But God already was working down there, way down there. 2 whole years go by, and they come and they get Joseph. And in a matter of moments, it's amazing. In a matter of moments, he goes from being a prisoner to being second in command in all of Egypt. Because God is always working on both ends. He's now over Potiphar, even. Think about it. He's now over Potiphar. He's now over Mrs. Potiphar. Yeah, she's going to have her day now. No. Second in command. Because God, but see, God already knew that down here when Joseph was sitting down there waiting. You know what I think about our life sometimes, and we wonder, what is God doing? He's working down there. Don't worry about it. What's going to happen? It's in the hand of the Lord, is it not? Is he faithful? Yes. Has he failed? No. Let him work. Joseph is now over the butler. He's over Potiphar. There isn't anyone that Joseph isn't over except Pharaoh himself. God had been working and on his time throughout all of this. Isaiah 30:18. Let's flip over there and we'll close there. Isaiah 30, verse 18. And therefore, I'll let you get there. Nice to hear the Bible pages turning, especially if it's the right verse. You find it? Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Notice the word here. Blessed are all they that wait for him. I like that. The Lord is waiting at the beginning of the verse. And at the end of the verse, happy are those, blessed are those who are waiting for the Lord. I see a lesson of great patience in the life of Joseph. God was at work on both ends. Where are we at tonight? I don't know. Anchor Baptist Church? I just know this. God is at work over here. We trust him. We can't see it, but we trust him. That's faith. In your life personally. You know what? You can. There's another example, and I won't take time tonight to look at it, but Acts chapter 16. We won't turn there. Acts chapter 16 is the founding of the church at Philippi. You know, if you read through that sometime, you're going to read that they were going gung-ho for God. Great things were happening. And they were headed for Asia. And the Holy Spirit said, no. No. Not going that way. And then they ended up in Philippi. And what did they do? The first group of people they met was a group of ladies who were having a meeting. That's not a negative thing, I'm just saying. And they met Lydia, and Lydia got saved. And the history of the church at Philippi is an amazing story. And then a jailer and the jailer's family, and Paul's in jail, and it's the beginning of Paul's prison ministry, so to speak. The point is, God was working on both ends. And then at the beginning of Philippians, Paul says about every remembrance of you. Chapter 1, verse 3. The point is, when they were not allowed to go where they thought they wanted to go, God was working in Philippi, and God knew that they needed to get to Philippi. They had the Macedonian vision, but there were some ladies there, and there was a jailer there, and there was a jailer's family there, and so forth and so on. I'm just saying that many times we can't see God, but know this, that God is working. Yes, God is working. And his will and way are the best. God works on us.